Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Michael Anthony Ingram. I am the executive director of the DC Poetry Project. I'd like to welcome you to our monthly program, Give Me Something to Believe In, a spiritual poetry program. And today is an opportunity for us to discuss and talk about and share poetry from a spiritual perspective, whatever that may mean. You know, as we process and listen today, recognizing that due to the daily hustle and bustle of our lives, we often seek tangible ways to connect more deeply with our souls. So writing, sharing, or reading poetry can provide a valuable source of spiritual support and encouragement. You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about briefly, and potentially every time we get together like this, is what exactly is spirituality? It can be defined in so many different ways. And one way that it's been defined is as follows: that it is the state in which we are connected to God, nature, and each other through the deepest part of ourselves. Now, according to award-winning poet, essayist, and translator James Hirschfield, whatever lives on the breath then must have its spiritual dimension, including all poems, even the most unlikely poems. So some may believe, in terms of spiritual poetry, that it is not where the poem itself is about spirit, although it might be, nor whether the poet, him or herself, that is their intention to be spiritual. It is rather a poem which is given by the spirit, whatever that is, and which moves the reader and or the writer to a true feeling of emotion about the relationship between the mind, body, and soul. So again, welcome to the Power of Poetics and our monthly program, Give Me Something to Believe In. The call-in number is 646-716-8754, and we'll be right back. Give Me Something to Believe In, a spiritual poetry program. Someone made the statement that spirituality or spiritual poetry is an effort to find words for the wordless. That's a very powerful statement and quite profound. Is an effort to find words for the wordless. What I'd like to do is to recite a piece that I found I felt was very, very powerful, and for me it helped put spirituality in perspective. And the piece is called I Forgot, and it was written by a young man. His name is Leon. He lives in England. I forgot that I am a wise old soul, existing before time. I forgot about my brilliance like a star that would not shine. I forgot I am a part of you, and you're a part of me. I forgot I am an expression of a great infinity. I forgot I am pure consciousness. I was trapped within my mind. I forgot I had a wondrous gift to share with all mankind. I forgot to breathe and go within and listen to my soul. I forgot that we're all actors and our lives are just nothing but playing a role. I forgot that I am a part of God and thought I was so small. I forgot my true identity. Yes, I forgot it all. I want you to think about that for a second before we continue this journey, especially the last particular line, stanza of that poem. I forgot that I'm a part of God and thought I was so small. I forgot my true identity. Yes, I forgot it all. Spirit-filled poets have lived in all nations and periods of human history. Yet their words feel timeless because they speak to us of what we fundamentally are, that we are parts of the body, that we are parts of the soul, and that we are parts of the mind. Now, again, what that means to you in terms of the mind, body, and soul, that's based upon your own distinct lived experience. And lived experiences are those stories that we share about ourselves and our world. They cannot be negated by somebody else's world, because those stories are unique to you. Now, when you think about spirituality in terms of poetry, it is also the voice of remembrance. It reminds us that all we do, that we're not conditioned creatures at the mercy of external circumstances, but are inwardly the master of all we survey. Now, poet William Cowper actually made that statement. He said, "We are the children of the Most High, sparks of the creative fire which forged the universe. In the faces of men and women I see God," wrote Walt Whitman in his immortal American spiritual classic, Leaves of Grass. So again, these are not poems, especially Leaves of Grass, that you would view or I would view based on my own background and experience as being a spiritual poem. But again, it's not so much the author's intention or the poem itself. It's the way that the person who's reading it and or reciting it feels about it in terms of it being from a spiritual perspective. I'd like to continue this journey as we wait on callers, and hopefully there will be other callers. There's a poem again, another poem that I found. And the poem is entitled Spirituals and Drums. My ancestors walking in the night, using oil lights and moonlight for guides, while being instructed to wade in the water, to camouflage their scent like disguise. The sweet chariot awaited so they could ride away. Harriet was a soldier. And it wasn't an option to be caught during the day. That's the same mentality Nat Turner had when he sang Steal Away. They would follow the drinking gourd, so all were in accord to go north. The gospel train was coming, and at the end of the journey was a fine reward. Freedom was coming, and it was a long time coming. And they walked until they had heard freedom's bell ring, and still would hear their tired feet and footsteps running. Thinking of my darling Nellie Gray, stolen from my arms on a random September day, and eliminated our chances to run away together. No family ties, no love, no strength, says the oppressor. Then I hear the drum beats in the darkness, giving me the hope of finally being free. maybe I'll follow them this time on faith and on bended knee. There must be a place for me among the light of this darkness, among oppression, thieves, evildoers, no thought on their conscience. Thank goodness for the safe houses that supported our traveling distances, and for the conductors who bore witnesses, and may God have mercy on the souls who are against this, and on those who choose to forget this shows. I still hear crying on quilts of safety, because I know that the burden was so heavy. To be at the mercy of nature and patrolmen, catching runaway slaves for money, some did it bare feet with freedom ahead of this love-induced journey, and they made it. So all that bull about how your life is hard, just stuff it in an envelope and save it. Now, when you think about it, that is a spiritual poem. Because, again, it was about a belief for those African Americans, those African people, those black people during the time of slavery who did run, who needed to run, to reach, quote, the North Star. And that North Star has been defined in so many different ways. So, again, that is a spiritual poetry piece. So, again, what I'd like us to do is continue this journey. I'll keep reading poems. And as people sign on, there are some listeners, and I have received some tweets. So I'll continue reading poetry, and we'll continue this program. We'll be right back. My name is Michael Ingram, and this is the DC Poetry Project's monthly show in terms of spiritual poetry, Give Me Something to Believe In. So again, these poems are about opportunities to express beliefs that share insight to the power of connection with a higher power, spirit, or nature, as I said earlier. Happy or joyful poems that make you rejoice in life and or the essence of being. Reflective poems about dealing with love and or relationships, inspiring poems that encourage you to take a chance, experiment, and follow your dreams to wherever the journey leads, motivational poems that tip your life inspiration into action and foster growth and development, and potentially confronting poems that may shake you up a little and hopefully steer you on to greater self-empowerment. Now, in many situations, there's often easy to feel, well, no, I want to stay in this state. I don't want to be moved beyond my own personal way of being. I don't want to be, quote, shaken up. But it's important for you, in my estimation, to continue that journey, because we're all works in progress, to allow ourselves to be shifted, to allow ourselves to see other perspectives. Now, whether you believe those perspectives or not, that's on you. But to allow ourselves to be shifted somewhat where we can have an opportunity to develop and grow. Now, here's a poem that was written by someone named Gloria Newsom from Lorain, Ohio. And the poem is called, I Am Stronger Than My Pain, Living in Hope. Together we rise up because we are strong. Together we are stronger. Today you see a person in pain, but we see the possibilities of what a happy, peaceful, healthy future can be. Be strong in all your encounters with life. Face the world with courage, for the road of life twists and turns, and no two directions are ever the same. Yet our lessons come from the journey, not the destination. Each journey is determined by your past, your present, and your hopes for the future. Learning is not an end product, though our journey together does have a final, quote, destination. Alone we are rare, but together we are stronger. And that's Gloria Newsom from Lorain, Ohio. Another piece, as we discuss spirituality in terms of poetry, was written by Robert Graysack from South Africa. And the poem is entitled Origin. Men, women of earth are children of the sun, of so very ancient heritage, of so very ancient lineage. Men, women of earth are children of the sun, but their ancient origin they have long forgotten. Men, women of earth are children of the sun, their very being in its fiery crucible spun, their very spirits formed in fiery love, their very essence or existence in heavenly power one. Men and women of earth are children of the universe. Long, long ages ago did they disperse to denser spheres of life through disharmony and strife. Forgotten. Forgotten over the long ages, his ancient, ancient past, and his love, his role, his purpose by design, love cast. The lords of the sun gave him birth. Fiery love gave him eternal worth, and all the angels sang a hymn that he be endowed with wisdom. For over the long ages of many lives, his very being despoiled by avarice, by ongoing aggression soiled, his inner life degraded and pitted, his mind and consciousness by darkness shrouded. Look up, O men of earth, to the glorious heaven. Look inward to heaven within, and know again the spirit's rebirth. A powerful poem that the spirit has been reborn. You know, as I continue, if you'd like to call in, the number is 646-716-8754. The next poem that I'd like to recite, it's called I Send You Encouragement. And again, this is also written by Gloria Newsom of Lorain, Ohio. Sometimes we all just need a little reminder to keep us going, a little pep talk to remind us exactly what we are after. Everyone needs encouragement. So many people in this world feel discouraged, pressed in, cornered, unworthy, unlovable, or completely overwhelmed by the circumstances of their lives. You can make a difference in one moment if you will honestly and sincerely encourage them. The word encourage means to inspire with strength, courage, spirit, or hope. Encouragement can help someone push forward to accomplish a lifelong dream. Encouragement can be the difference maker. Not everybody can be a leader, but everybody can be a good follower, and everyone can be an encourager. As encouragers can be motivators, but primarily an encourager always sees your full potential. There are many people who do not know their thoughts, words, and actions help create the world they see and they experience. Encouragers simply encourage you to think, say, and do the things that feel good and right to you. They know that if you are a true person to your purpose, you will feel better and your world will also change for the better. You will experience more joy in your life and less pain. Wouldn't it be nice to experience more joy and less pain? I think, again, that's something to really ponder. Would it not be nice to experience more joy and less pain? How do you go about that? How do you go about experiencing more joy and less pain? I want you to ponder that for a second. Now, there's a book written by Thich Nhat Hanh called Be Free Where You Are. And that provides an opportunity to discuss the importance of finding joy in your life. But I see that we do have a call, and I'd like to bring this person online. And hold on 1 second. Area code 478, you're on the line. Are you there, caller?
I am. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. My name is Michael, and you are?
My name is Savonia.
Savonia, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for calling in. And again, this is Give Me Something to Believe In. So I believe that someone was going to call in, and they did. So where are you calling from?
I'm here in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
All right. How did you find out about the show?
It was on Meetup.
You're a member of the D.C. Poetry Project?
I think I am. I saw it there, that it popped up in my list of things, and so I just called in. Let me see.
Oh,
am
wow.
I a member? Yeah, I think I am.
Well, if you find out that you're not, I'd love for you to join. It's a fantastic organization. So do you have any poems that you'd like to share today?
No, not any. I just saw it on the Meetup page like 2 seconds ago.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, just hold on. We'll be right back, and I will continue sharing the poems that I have, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for calling in. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. This is Give Me Something to Believe In, the D.C. Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. We ordinarily offer a number of different programs throughout the course of the week, but this is one that we offer monthly, Give Me Something to Believe In. The guest call-in number is 646-716-8754, and we'll be right back. Savonia, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. What does spirituality mean to you?
Well, you know, it's believing in God for me, you know, and accepting Him as my Lord and Savior, first and foremost, and that may be more so salvation, but you know, spirituality is just trying to be a better Christian every day. You know, I love ODB, Our Daily Bread, reading that in the mornings. And, you know, I'm trying to get more into the Word daily and, you know, attend church. So a little bit of that plus a little bit more.
Okay. So what about the title of this particular show, though, Give Me Something to Believe In? And again, I hate to put you on the spot. I've got some other people calling in, one from Alabama. But that title, Give Me Something to Believe In, what about that drew you? And I'll share what drew me to create that title.
Well, you know, I was just looking for something, to be honest, to do tonight. It was kind of boring, and you know, I was like, oh, a call-in number, you know, okay, I'm at home, so let me just dial in. You know, I saw the poetry thing, I'm into the arts, you know, I sing, I dance,
okay.
I rap, I act, I'm a comedian. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but yeah, that's where I was with that.
All right. Well, the reason that I chose that title for this particular program, this monthly program, is that I guess I just feel that we need something, or I need something, to believe in, something to hold on to when I'm going through those storms of life. sometimes those storms can seem so challenging that you're not sure that you can make it through them. And you need something that's bigger than yourself to hold on to. I think that's what's been important for me. My belief in Christ, my belief in, again, there being a higher power, but also, like I said again, needing that to help me through this journey called life, which can be very tough. The vicissitudes of life can just sometimes drive you crazy. And that's why this program is important. So every month we'll have this program, whether it's just me and you, Sonia, or just me by myself. It's important to kind of talk about this issue. All right? I'd like to bring someone else on. Would you like to make a statement?
No.
Make a statement?
No, I was just saying.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay, hold on 1 second then.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Area code 256. How are you, sir?
What's up, Mike?
Hello, Gary. How are you, man?
I'm good, man.
Yes, thank
good.
You for joining.
Good. Glad to be able to witness another day, another time, just to be breathing, just to be sitting here having this opportunity to speak. It's just so many things I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about. But I'm just truly just to be blessed, man, just blessed.
Yes. Well, we're joined today by a young woman, Livonia, in the D.C. metro area. And we're just sharing poetry and listening and just talking about spirituality and the inspiration that it brings to us and just enjoying a Sunday evening. So, Gary, do you have any poems for us?
Yeah, I do. I got this piece I want to I just chimed in. I heard you talking about the storms. Actually, I was going to do this unexpected rain, but I can't find it right off. It's called Promise Protection that I share. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Okay. Stretch wide across the yellow-gray horizon. Angry dark clouds rolling like giant black tumbleweeds, caught up in a dust storm on a desert plain. Vigorous thunders loudly roars like a pride of ferocious hungry lions, as bright veins of lightning flashes and crackles like a thousand free falling from heaven to earth. Heavy raindrops begin to pour down like a million bullets spraying from an army of massive machine guns. And Mother Nature's in a rebellious mood, and life is irate too. Trials with the tenacity of a fiery tornado spins out of control, in and out of innocent lives, effacing happy, smiling faces. The turbulence of trouble and tribulation impact peaceful shores. And like a Category 5 hurricane, swiftly turning into a tsunami inside the storm, are frayed nerves and weary minds and exhausted bodies, fragments of broken spirit buried in a whirl of hurt, anxious to be exhumed from the belly of the living dead. Born again zombies patiently anticipate the countdown to count it all joy, knowing that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, sunshine, comes in the morning inside the storm. And everything seems futile until you start to look around toward the future, trying desperately not to focus on the severity of the storm, but rather persevere to witness the serenity of the rainbow, the promise that trouble does not last always and that this too shall pass, the promise of not being alone or forsaken, the promise of victory, the promise that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then the reward for being more than a conqueror, for daily bearing your cross, the reward for keeping the faith, and for being still and knowing I am. He who gives thee hope the blessed assurance to know the bigger the storm, the brighter the rainbow, and all to learn to appreciate the promise even more so of his love, his protection, the ultimate shelter from harm, all the while deep inside the storm. Amen.
Amazing. Wow, that was great.
Wasn't that beautiful?
It was gorgeous. I mean, it was really good. Really good.
Well, so let me make a statement to you, Savonia. On this show, whatever show it is, when a person makes a statement like you just did about it was good, it was gorgeous, we'll always ask you to answer this, why? What made it good? What made it gorgeous? What made it good?
I mean, just, I could almost tell what he was going to say because it was biblically based. You know, it came straight from the scriptures, and, you know, that's what I know. You know, so with that, me being able to relate to it and, you know, almost pull the words up, you know, in my spirit at the same time when he was saying it, It was just beautiful.
Well, thank you.
You know, Gary, you do the great state of Alabama proud, man, because you are a tremendous, fabulous poet, bud. And I'm so glad that God has brought you into our lives as being a part of the DC Poetry Project, even in Alabama. So do you have another piece for us, my brother? Because we need your word.
Yes. I have another piece. Right. Y'all know the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's found in Luke. This is a modern-day version of the prodigal son. It's in Luke chapter 15, I think, you know, where the father, the son go off and squander his money and then come back. Well, anyway, this is a modern-day version of the prodigal son. Once a rebellious child that has turned his life around, now a freeborn child that is no longer bound. Well, he just got saved. A gang-banging thug with one Nike in the street and another dangling above a fresh dove grave. Anxiously waiting for his young soul, bound by many strongholds, peddling poison to zombies in the night. Lost souls blindly wandering in the darkening, thinking they're hiding from the light. Grandma, people don't know half my story. Real talk. I represent no guts, no glory. Yeah, I'm angry because my father abandoned me, and after my mother refused to abort me, 13 years old, I pledged allegiance to these streets, mostly because my father never accepted me. Standing there, his ego shouts, fear me or respect me, proudly wearing a do-rag as his pants sag, carelessly allowing his dream to fade, and all for a banana-made flag. Yeah, son, you a killer, all right. You're dealing drugs, you're murdering mine and killing time, assassinating opportunity by quitting schools. Wake up, son. Can't you see you're lost? This is not who you are, and you're no fool. Yeah, your daddy left your mama to work two jobs to raise his seed, but this life you're living now just makes her heart bleed. Athletic and talented with a way with words, God gave you a gift. Now, son, let it be heard. See, I prayed and I prayed night and day, never giving up hope. Your sister is a nurse. And of all the things you could be, you chose to sell dope. And what you're really selling is despair, destruction, deception, and death. Devil, you can't have my grandson. Were the last words she spoke before she took her last breath. Staring down in the soon-to-be-filled grave that was meant for him, the devil looked up and said, don't you worry. You'll be back here again. Only then you'll be carried by six of your little hustling friends. See, your grandmother's soul I couldn't have. She was only passing through. Young man, when it's your turn, guess what? I'm going to keep you. And right then and there, the boy looked up toward heaven and he cried out, God, God, please, please give me one more chance. Take my one life to live for the one Christ. See, all I need is your word, one pen and one mic to fight this one fight. Father God, now, I believe. Please forgive me for my sins. Then suddenly it started pouring down rain. Those were his grandmother's tears for answered prayers after 7 long years. One lost sheep, one lost coin. No longer lost a prodigal son. And as the angel rejoiced, his mother and sister walked over and hugged him. Then a rainbow appeared. The end.
What? That's beautiful. Again,
yeah,
what inspired you to write that piece? What inspired you to write that piece?
I wrote that in 2012. And I performed it at a youth thing they was having in my church, but I had wrote that before that happened, and I'm really trying, because I wrote it, like I said, in 2012. I can't remember exactly what really inspired me, but I do know I dug that back out to perform at that youth event, but I just can't really remember what really the impact, because it's been so long. And now when I start writing pieces down, on my paper that I'm originally writing, because I always write it in longhand first, I do write that. If I know something inspired me, I write it on there somewhere so I can have that. I said, no, that's like, if it's a thought or it's a program or something I heard, but I do try to write that now, but I can't remember exactly.
Lavonia, do you write poetry?
I don't. Not on a regular basis, no. Mm-mm.
Well, yeah, I guess what I was thinking is that poetry is really anything. As I stated as this show began, and I want to go back to that, that this author stated that whatever lives on the breath then must have its spiritual dimension, including all poems. So whatever lives on the breath has a spiritual dimension. And when I first read that statement, I was thunderstruck by it, because you don't always think that, because some things that live on the breath don't seem positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, for me, when I think about the world in which we live in, this is a piece that I put together some years ago called The Dreamer. I guess it goes back to give me something to believe in. It's called The Dreamer. I dreamed a world, and it was clear like it should be, that all the earth was bright and full of remarkable color. Tinged and shaped images danced and laughed gleefully as they watched strife and disappointment give way to harmony and victory throughout the land. I dreamed my life, and it was rich like it should be. Yet the jewels of knowledge passed on to me by my ancestors helped me to understand that all worldly possessions are given to us solely on loan, that we must all turn them back in when it's time for us to go on home. I dreamed for my children, that they are proud like they should be, self-respecting sons and daughters, descendants of exalted kings and queens, children who are not ashamed to accept their blood-stained roots, affirming their heritage with the same vigor used to embrace drugs, alcohol, and basketball shoes. I dream for us. that we are wise like we should be, intelligent men and women, inheritors of great wisdom cultivated in our ancestral homelands, wisdom that survived great oceans and cotton fields, not only stay alive inside our minds, but thrive despite a whole host of new societal ills, and I dreamed for you. That you are bold like you should be. The struggle has not succumbed to the struggle, and although your back might bend, it does not break. And while your spirit might shake, it does not quake, and I dream for tomorrow that it is ablaze like it should be. A path has been burned through the night to signal the way for a future that is crystal clear in the Almighty sight. I dreamed a world. We'll be right back. Back with Give Me Something to Believe In. Again, our breaks are very, very short. My name is Michael Ingram, and I'd like to thank you for calling in, as well as the people here that are with us tonight. The number to call in is 646-716-8754. This is our monthly program, and Gary, you're on. Or Savonia, if you found a piece that you'd like to share or anything that you'd like to share, please feel free to do so. All right? Are you both there?
I am.
Sorry, I'm sorry. My cell phone kept ringing, and I had to finally answer it. It was. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
I am here.
All right. Well, I dreamed a world, and I've got to have something to believe in, and that the world has to be one that's reclaimed for goodness. So, Gary, do you have another poem?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Hold on one second. This piece is called Fishy Love. If love were a mermaid, then this fish is tired of swimming in red dreams. Sardines. After too many times being baited, hooked up, only to be swallowed in the belly of a whale. Alongside Mac and Jackson, jealous jellyfish, angry red snappers, and T.O. catfish, guppies and gay rainbow trout, fried for predator sharks, silly shrimps, and backbiting, bickering piranhas and unangelic angelfish, closed-up clams and weak mussels, selfish shellfish, hating crabs and other bottom dwellers, strands of seaweed wound tightly around my head, confused yellowish and ghastly pale, entangled in strange intestines, emitting harsh gases, vapors of misery, floated in a wretched darkness, a septic pool pile of disappointment. The putrid aroma from the stench of rejection leave me numb and lyric. Instead of moving forward, I'm reflux like acid. Grief, myth, conquered up notion of love, and all sorts of fairy tale that are often unbelievable yet very lucid. For every heart belongs to be wrapped up in a romantic bliss. Every pair of lips desire a nightly seductive kiss. Or is it just me? Who wants to be ignored or cast away on a fantasy island, content to live a lonely life on Gilligan's? Regurgitate me from the bowels of this indiscriminate fish before I dissipate in a sea of hopelessness. that I must give my mind an enema so I defecate form and thicker matter that's no longer matter for my neurotic digestive system, and dismantle negative thoughts that aren't relevant to my soul's survival. Repudiate the notion that love is not worthy of my attention, and only subscribe to the definition of charity that's found in the Bible. Don't settle for false or fake pretenses, ludicrous ideologies that deceptive flaming arrows from pretentious pretending cupids. Use discernment to distinguish lust from infatuation. Either way, both can lead to serious indigestion. Yet I can let wisdom be the guide to the canal of intimate relationship and hold self accountable to a reasonable standard. Forgiveness, understanding, trust, and communication are all a shipmate's must-have companions. Gossip lies, those things that require drama, I can be resentient. And remember, swift to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak. Peace and joy, be a cheerful giver and a willing recipient. He said, come and be fishers of men, and let a true fisherman remove those loose scales of affliction and unclog those gills stifled by years of tribulation. Be transformed from a lost cod, transformed to the image of his son by the grace of a holy God. To be saved fish, to a saved fish swimming after righteousness, but also a humble fisherman serving up humanity, bound now by holiness. And then who should separate us from love? Quit chasing what you do not know exists. Perfect creatures, exotic mermaids, and genies with wishes. Don't limit your imagination and sense of humor to the size of a bowl fit for a fish. Then, and then, an ocean of love will be yours to become a lifelong residence. Now, I'm one happy fish.
One happy fish.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Wow. I was told off. My mother was trying to call in. I'm about to call her back. That threw me off. I lost my place several times when she was trying to call in.
Oh, that's no problem. That was perfect, man. It always, your poems are always perfect. You know, one of the things that I believe in is that there will be a tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow. And I believe in the potential of tomorrow to help me keep going. I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't change what's happening today, relatively speaking. But tomorrow is a new day, so this is the potentiality of tomorrow. The potentiality of tomorrow wakes me, shakes me, quakes me, fools me, rules me, cools me, dazes me, phases me, amazes me, holds me, molds me, enfolds me, fills me, thrills me, chills me, teases me, pleases me, releases me, amuses me, deludes me, confuses me, sustains me, contains me, maintains me, mystifies me, petrifies me, electrifies me, yet saves me from the harsh cold reality I call today. The end.
That was pretty good, Michael. What inspired that piece?
Well, I think, you know, as I travel the country and talk with kids and work with schools and stuff, I talk with them about to imagine that it's the day before a trip to Disney World or Disneyland, and you're so excited that it kind of goes back to the premise of the show, that I need something to believe in, something good that is going to happen. I think that's what inspired that particular piece. And I usually recite it with some music, Aretha Franklin's Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And it's just a very powerful message for me to kind of share with people that there is potential, that there is something to believe in, something that's beyond your own understanding, and that you should be excited by it.
Yes.
That's my thought. Savannah, you have any questions or anything? I mean, you've been listening to two male poets, and any thoughts that you're thinking?
It's amazing. I mean, I could relate to like every word that you said about tomorrow, because that's what it is. You know, as someone who's been searching for a promotion for the last year, you know, it's like, okay, maybe tomorrow somebody will call me, or, you know, what happened to this application, you know, or what happened with that? So I totally get where you're coming from with that tomorrow poem. That was really good.
Right. It's that potential of something good happening. If you don't hold on to that, what is there?
Yeah. Very true.
Gary, you got another poem for us, my friend?
Yeah. Yeah. This piece is called Fleshly Dust. From ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Hide in the shadow of time, draped in shallow iniquity, stands the shell of a man. Composed with the DNA of greatness and molded by Jehovah's hands, 75% water, 10% total disgust of pain, anger, anguish, and bitter stress, 5% loneliness, 10% joy, laughter, and happiness. At times a messed up mess, yet still blessed to be blessed. Flesh and dust. The complex composition of an imperfect creature. Salt of the earth, still learning life lesson from a perfect teacher. Doing time growing up, running on country gravel roads, breathing fresh country air and raised by wise country souls. Full of country food, red Kool-Aid, crackers and bologna, and full of country foolishness. If it was mischievous, did it on a dare. Playing life's chances, this country boy didn't care. Too naive to know that crystal clear water wouldn't hide country red dirt, and didn't understand that this sack of dust was given a life sentence at birth. Flesh and dirt, a walking graveyard buried deep in the past, not resting so peaceful, a satanic temptation and wanton desires, a flaming heart burning on fire, fueled by sinful gas, reveling in many passionate tornadic lessons, the aftermath of lies. Long suffering, a very long time from torrential rains, flood these weary eyes. Naked on Light Boulevard with a window seat, love put me on the ledge. And if this world is round, why do I keep falling off the edge? If it's due to a war within, righteousness versus demanding forces and physical lust, the spirit is indeed willing, but very weak is this citron of fleshly dust, flesh and earth. The word spoke the earth into existence and made man. Then the word became flesh and walked on land. Evolutionists said we evolved from a monkey. But those monkeys can kiss my monkey tail and tell them those monkey tails. Because carried inside the womb of one of God's finest creation, the way she carried herself, woman, I learned to respect. But with little regret, the same became my recreation. And like a starving vulture, I now seek a queen with virtue. Striving to be a James and 119 man, I seek that which is true, a better life, the way of the Messiah, my rock, my DOC. To quote Run DMC, there is none higher. And in him I trust. From my ashy youth runs this flesh of dust. That's the end.
Talk about that piece, my friend. What inspired you to write that?
Well, that's another old piece. I wrote that in 2011. And then it really just tells us, to me, the makeup of what we are as a human, you know, beings, but it also our journey through life, you know, and the different things that we go through in the different channels and avenues, you know what I'm saying? We all have, even though we all are fleshly dust, but each one of us is a unique vessel of that, that we all have a different story to tell, you know?
Yes.
And that was kind of like, sort of like my my personal testimony as fleshly dust. You know, you could write this, take that same title, and it'd be totally different. My friend, what's her name? The lady that's on the line.
Savonia. Beautiful name.
Savonia, well, she can take that same title and then flesh and lust, and her story will be totally different. You know what I'm saying? But in the end, we are all that, though. We are all, because we all come from the compass, we're made up from the compasses of God, made us from dust. Well, he took woman and made her from bone, but still get my what I'm talking about, right?
But, you know, say again that we're all made from dust and we all have our own stories. This is one called, and I've shared it before on here, I Saw Fannie Lou Hamer's Face. Now, you know, Fannie Lou Hamer, she was from Mississippi. And this is called I Saw Fannie Lou Hamer's Face today. Have you ever seen Fannie Lou Hamer's face? I can remember seeing her face so clearly in those old newsreels from the Democratic Convention in 1964, when she and other black souls demanded and protested for more. Fannie Lou told the Democratic Party that she was sick and tired of being sick and tired living in a world and nation that would forever keep her and her people mired. I remember the worried look of pain on her face, the every line of torment that her face seemed to embrace, the years of being beaten down, almost battered to the ground, the look of a woman that you might think happiness seldom found. Yet I also remember behind that pain look of misery. I saw the face of a woman who, despite it all, was claiming victory. There walked a woman both strong and proud, a woman who, in the face of overwhelming odds, possessed the resolve and strength to go on and make it anyhow. I saw Fannie Lou Hamer's face today. No, not in the face of some ancient newsreel, a flicker in black or white that recalled a period of time that will forever give you chills. No, I saw Fannie Lou Hamer's face when I was standing in an ordinary place waiting at the bus stop on 5th and Race. It was her face I saw as I looked into the eyes of an old woman standing next to me. There she stood clutching the hands of two small children who appeared to be no more than three. It was Fannie Lou's face I saw when I observed the tired look on that old woman's face, the hardship of living, that every wrinkle seemed to trace, a look that seemed to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of raising babies that my own baby sighed, yet despite my years, I'll shed no tears. I'm going to keep working to keep these little children alive so they can grow up, be strong, and strive. And like Fannie Lou, I'm going to make it anyhow. I'm going to make it anyhow. I saw Fannie Lou Hamer's face today. It wasn't while reading an old issue of Ebony magazine, nor was while I watched from the bus window and witnessed an all too familiar scene. I saw Fannie Lou Hamer's face when I observed a young girl standing on a street corner waiting for some other lost soul to come and join her. There she stood, selling her body for a dime, sometimes less, depending on the time. Her pain, look of expression, seemed to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. True, this life I live is not one to which I aspired. Yet despite my sin, I know my life will change. Therefore, I will not give in. And like Fannie Lou, I'm going to make it anyhow. I'm going to make it anyhow. I saw Fannie Lou Hamer's face today. It wasn't while reading a book on some historical figure in an attempt to see what thoughts it might trigger. No, I saw Fannie Lou Hamer's face when I got off that bus and walked into you. Your face seemed to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. In this life, I seem to be perpetually mired. Yet despite my plight, I know that I walk in the midst of God's unconquerable light. And like Fannie Lou, I'm going to make it anyhow. I'm going to make it anyhow. Good people, we've reached the end. I want to thank you both for giving me something to believe in, one of which is to continue this show. So I'd like to thank you and have a good evening.
This is Michael Ingram,
with
the Power of Poetics. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. You have
a good
night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.